everyone. So we're going to be looking at this passage, 1 Timothy 4. In fact, I have verse 7, not 6, but it's all good stuff, I'm sure. You might like to have it open in front of you. 24/7 godliness. So listen up, because this sermon is for you, not for someone else, for you. And it's not just about tonight at church, or indeed not just about tomorrow or the week ahead, although that would be good. This is actually about the rest of your life. What are you going to stand for? How are you going to live it? How are you going to be remembered? And even then we're not done, because as the passage hints, if we get this right, then there's implications for eternity. I've had three conversations with different people this week about life. I went to see a bereaved family who have asked me to take the funeral for them next week. And talking about their mum, who'd lived to the grand old age of 92. They wanted to say lots of good things about her, but actually the one big thing they wanted to say was she'd worked hard all her life. And that was a good thing for them. But I came away thinking, you know, is that it? Is that what life is all about? Working hard? It was a quality for her. She had to work hard when she was younger to keep her family in food, really. But is that how we want to be remembered? Just for working hard? I spoke to an old lady at hospital just this morning. She knows she's coming towards the end of her life. And looking back, she wished she'd taken more chances in her life. End of a life. It hasn't got a chance now to take chances. That's the right way to say it. Someone from church this week has said to me that what they really want is to live life to the full, as Jesus wanted them to do. That's what God wants for us. And one of the ways to achieve it is found in this passage, 24/7 godliness. If your life is a house, then it's about foundations and then the buildings. We'll put it another way. It's about who you trust, it's about how you train, and it's about how you tweet. And if you're over 50, I'll explain about that later. Who you trust. This is the starting point for godliness. You can't be godly if God is not involved. But obvious, but actually the starting point for godliness is God. So Paul is writing to Timothy, who is just a youngster, perhaps a bit older than some of you here tonight, a bit younger than some of you here tonight as well, given the responsibility of leading this church. And Paul says to him, in verse 7, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. I checked out some old wives' tales on the internet. Some of them are just old sayings, or, you know, a watched pot never boils. What a load of rubbish, isn't it, though? Because it'll boil just the same speed, won't it, whether you watch it. But it seems like it never boils, because you're watching it. Do something else, and it'll boil. If you watch TV for too long, you get square eyes. Has your mum said that to you? Bet she has, hasn't she? Say yes, Ian. She hasn't, has she? You don't watch TV, do you, in your house? No. What a load of rubbish. Well, maybe. Who knows? If you eat carrots, you'll be able to see in the dark. Did you know that the British Army put that about in the Second World War? Because they didn't want the Germans to know they were using radar. They had this secret weapon, radar. And they put it about that we could see in the dark because we were eating carrots. Did you know that? Apparently that's true. I don't know. An old wives' tale or what? Some of them are just, you know, folklore like that. Some of them are actually superstitious. If you carry a rabbit's foot around with you, then you'll have good luck. Don't put new shoes on a table, What's that about? My mum says that. She's Christian. She's been passed on to her from an old wife somewhere along the way. I don't know why that's bad luck. Apparently it's bad luck. The whole New Year thing. I won't mention names, but my sister-in-law has got this thing about New Year. And you have to let the New Year in. A tall, dark stranger, handsome, usually me, has to go and let the New Year in. But you can't, let me get this right, you've got to go out the back door, come round to the front door, knock on the door, well, wait outside till midnight chimes, knock on the door, she lets you in. Do you see, you've got to go out the back door and bring in the New Year. It's just, isn't it, just crazy. With a piece of coal. What's that about? Yeah, what's that about? It's what? Oh, is it? Oh, okay. And rake the fire out. What's a fire? For goodness sake. So just some superstitious sort of stuff. And some are religious, and there's quite a lot out there. I'm not going to bore you with them. But if your house is being haunted, for instance, tie 7, 14, or 21 knots in a rope whilst saying the name of the spirit. How you know its name? I don't know. Then you bury the rope outside your home and the spirit will stay away. You see, some people believe these things. Old wives' tales that are passed down to people. And for some people it governs their lives. These superstitions govern their lives. And Paul is saying, have nothing to do with this kind of stuff. What value is there in this kind of stuff? And what does it say actually about where your trust lies? What does it say about your trust in God? Godless myths and old wives' tales. Godless myths are not just some old-fashioned stories, but actually are real today. The kind of wisdom that we're encouraged to live our life by, our lives by. Sexual immorality, a lack of fidelity, selfish behaviour, and anything in between. Your average episode of EastEnders is actually godless myths. And Paul says, have nothing to do with these. Don't trust in these things. Rather, verse 9, and this is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. And for this we labour and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the saviour of all men, and especially of those who believe. This is where we put our trust. This is the foundation that we build our lives upon. This is the starting point for 24/7 godliness. A living God. And we sung about this already. One who is ageless and eternal. One from whom all things come. One in whom all things hold together. One to whom all things are heading. The living God, who is a God of love. Who is love. Who is light. Who is a consuming fire. The living God who created each one of us uniquely. Look around, each one of us is different from the others. And yet, each one of us has the imprint of God himself, the nature of God in each of us. How marvellous is that? And he made each of us with a hunger and a yearning and a longing that can only be satisfied in him. By us putting our hope and trust in him, and he putting his life into us. That's always been his intention for you. Something he enjoyed with Adam and Eve until they disobeyed and sin came between him and them. But it's been made possible again through Jesus, the one who took the blame for our sins, the one who is the saviour of all, especially of those who believe. So do you believe? Have you put your hope in the living God? Have you given your life over to him that he may fill your life to the brim with the best that money can't buy? The very power of God in your life. This is the foundation for life. This is who to trust. And if you have given your life to the Lord, if you have put your hope in the living God, it's not just that first once I gave my heart to the Lord X years ago. It's every moment of every day. It's keep putting your hope in him, because that's where your hope comes from. This is who you trust. Secondly, how you train. 24/7 godliness is about how you train. Rather than trust in godless myths or old wives' tales, put your hope in the living God. And then Paul says, and train yourself to be godly. It's there in verse 7. Rather, train yourself to be godly. Now, it's probably hard to believe, looking at this perfect specimen of physical perfection in front of you. But actually, I've never really had a good physique, if I'm honest. It is hard to believe, isn't it? I can see you thinking that already. But when I was younger, I was just tall and lanky. I had no muscles to speak of. I've obviously had some to hold my bones together, but do you know, where there should have been pecs, it was specs, you know, with a K. Do you know, it's just nothing, really. And where there should have been a six-pack, you know, it was more of a sort of barrel thing going on there. I vividly remember one of my printing lecturers calling me a long drink of water. I still don't really know what he meant by that, but I guess it's not to do with muscular shape sort of thing, is it? And then as I get older, of course, the weight begins to come on, and actually I've got sort of pecs now, sort of. I've got shape there now, but I've also got waist. And in both spellings of the word, right, it's waist. Okay. I've had a couple of goes at gym membership, but I've got a real aversion to being in the gym and pounding away on those machines. And I put my shape down in the end to my genes. This is the way I'm meant to be. This is the way God wants me to be. Praise the Lord for my shape. The reality, of course, is that I'm probably too lazy. Now, we get our word gym from this word, train. Train yourself. The word is gymnasia. And I'm afraid it's bad news, folks, because we have to work hard at godliness. Now, some of you probably do work hard to get your toned body, your physical fitness. And Paul says, you know, it's of some value. Health and well-being is something that comes out of, isn't it, of keeping fit. But as good as it is, it's actually only temporary. One day, mark my words, the muscle will turn to flab. And even if it doesn't, stacked up against godliness, it stands for nothing. Because Paul says in verse 8, godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is what's really important in life. It's what we're trained for. Godliness. 24/7 godliness. And how do we train? Well, it's hard work. And what exercises do we need to do? Well, this is where we learn how to tweet. Does anyone tweet here? Anyone on Twitter? You can own up, it's okay. No, nobody's watching, there's no video camera. There's nobody tweet. Well, okay. The most famous tweeter, as I understand it, is Stephen Fry, who has millions of people following. You tweet, don't you? You didn't put your hand. You do, don't you? Yeah, I'm sure you're not. Apparently you're allowed 140 characters every time you tweet. Characters, you know, letters of the alphabet. And you blog about your life. You talk about what you've done that day, how you've lived your life that day, or whatever you want to talk about. Now, verse 12 here is 112 characters. Now, I know what you're going to do. You're going to count them, aren't you now? That's what you're going to do for the next 5 minutes. And you're going to get to 79 like I did, and I'm thinking, oh, missed count again. You're going to start again. It's okay. Okay, you can count them if you want to. There or thereabouts, it's 112 characters. And I don't know whether that includes spaces or not. But these 112 characters contain wisdom for life and 24/7 godliness. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Now, you younger ones, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. The moment comes in your life Where you cease to be your parents' children. Actually, you don't, do you? You'll always be your parents' children. But stick with me, right? When you cease to be your parents' children and you become a person in your own right. That's total rubbish, because you're always your parents' children. And actually, you've always been a person in your own right. But you know what I mean. The time comes when you begin to think for yourself, to make your own choices, to go your own ways, decide which football team to follow. Everton won 3-1 yesterday against Manchester United. But if this is a godliness thing, so what I want to say to Man United fans here today is hard luck. Better luck next time. Which football team to follow, who to vote for, all those kind of things. But the first thing you'll have to decide for yourself, perhaps, is about your faith, about following Jesus, about putting your hope in the living God. And when you do that, that's not the end. In fact, it's just the beginning. Because what follows then is living it out. 24/7 godliness. And if I may be so bold to say to you young people who are here tonight, from us older ones as a church, we really value you as young people in our church. And we long to see you give your lives to Christ and grow as disciples and get involved in the life of the church. Now, Paul's instructions to Timothy are for all of us, whether we're young or not so young. And we've got four words beginning with E just to round this off. It's only half a page on here, so it doesn't take long, okay? Firstly, he says to be an example to others in verse 12. Set an example for the believers in speech. Speech. What did the girl say on there? Don't swear. And that's a good thing. But it's more than that. Say nice things to one another. Encourage one another. And actually what comes out of our lips starts here in our hearts. Godliness starts from within, as God dwells within us. An example in speech. An example in life, love, faith and purity. In other words, godliness. God-likeness. Or let's take an old-fashioned word. Holiness. Now there are pressures on young people today, perhaps more than in my day, when I was a young person all those years ago. Modern lifestyles. Relationships. Sexual preferences. Ethics. Morals. There's so much wisdom out there in this world that is against the kind of things that we teach as Christians here. And the temptation will be to give in to what the rest of the world is doing, because it's easier. To do what everyone else expects you to do. To do what everyone else is doing. And it's hard to make a stand for Jesus. It's hard because you'll take stick for it. But Paul is saying to Timothy, make the effort. Be diligent. It's a story. Do you know it's Lent at the moment? Does anyone know that? It's Lent at the moment. It's about resisting temptation. So here's a story about a man who's slightly overweight, who his weakness is cream cakes. And on his route to work every morning, there's a cake shop. And he can't resist stopping, buying a cake. And eating it when he gets to work. And probably that's why he's got a little bit overweight. And his mates at work begin to have a little bit of a go at him. And Lent comes along and he thinks, right. And he resolves to go a different route to work to avoid the cake shop. So he won't stop, so he won't buy a cake, so he won't eat it, so he loses a bit of weight. And for 2 weeks of Lent, fantastic. And then one Monday morning he turns up and works with a big smile on his face and a big cake in his hand. And his workmates say, what are you doing? What are you doing? He said, it's okay, it's okay. He said, the Lord has led me to this cake. What do you mean? What do you mean? He said, well, I was driving to work along my new route today, and there was a new cake shop opened on this new route. And I said to the Lord, Lord, if this is from you, please let there be a car parking space right outside this shop. And on my eighth go around the block, there was one. See, resisting temptation is hard, isn't it? But worth the effort. Be an example to others. Quickly, verse 13, embrace Scripture. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Scripture is a God-given resource for godliness. No more to be said, really, except that we as a church embrace this. And I hope you, as young people and older people, embrace this. Whether it's reading, whether it's preaching, whether it's teaching, whether it's listening, whether it's speaking, whether it's just soaking it in. There's more wisdom in these 112 characters than in a year of EastEnders. 25 years of EastEnders, dare I say. Embrace Scripture. Express your gifts, verse 15. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. It's great to see our musicians out tonight, young people, our musicians tonight, expressing your musical gifts. Thank you, and well done. Some of you might not be musical, but everyone has got a gift. And whether it's helping in Sunday school, whether it's helping at one of the clubs on a Friday night, whether it's putting the chairs out for Cafe Church, you know, from one extreme to the other, we all have gifts that we can use. And let me tell you, your church, this church, needs you to use that gift. So express your gift. And finally, evangelize others. Verse 15 and 16. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Just because everyone else is living worldly lives doesn't mean you should. And how are they going to find fullness in God unless you show them? Example to others, embracing Scripture, expressing your gifts, evangelizing others. For ease. But it's not a life of ease. Oh. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. What kind of life do you want to lead? 24/7 godliness is God's advice to you.